I took this outline from Brother Bob Veal. He always says if I didn't show up and he had to preach, they'd say the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11. It came to pass as he, Jesus, was praying. Boy, wouldn't that have been great to hear him pray? You ever heard a prayer and just knew that that person was connecting with God? It, you know, when we pray, it's not supposed to be that we're here calling back to headquarters. You know, headquarters, come in. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that we are here and in our spirit there at the throne of God in heaven. Isn't that incredible? We read about it this morning. It said Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. There of His majesty. There on the throne, at the throne room of heaven. And the glory and the beauty of God. And we go before Him and we pray. And Jesus is our mediator, taking our burdens and our needs. In fact, back up a step, there are things we don't even know we need. Brother Rodney got a bad diagnosis this week from the doctor. We don't know what the future holds. But we know who holds the future. And we also know that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, makes groanings of intercession for those things which we have no need that we ought to pray about. That means before I pray for myself, before I know that I need to pray, the Holy Spirit of God is already reaching up to heaven and saying something on my behalf and on your behalf as a child of God. The Spirit knows our infirmities, and He makes groanings of intercession. He prays those things that we don't even know we need. And He gives that to the Son, the Son gives that to the Father, and an answer is given. Maybe it's an answer of time. Maybe it's an answer of healing. Maybe it's an answer of no. Maybe it's an answer of it's part of my plan. Guys, there are things that are going on around us today, and I mean with our people, and I don't understand it. I can't fix it. And it's piling on. Guys, and I don't mean it's piling on me. There's only so much I can do, but I think about the burden you're carrying, the weight that you're carrying. And I say, God, help them. God, give them what they need, and, you know, and fix it. Fix it. I just talk to God the only way I know how, and that's just to talk to Him like I talk to you. As a friend, as a man, I know God is not a man, but as Moses talked to God face to face, that's all I know to do is pray. They heard Jesus pray, and there was something different about His prayer because it wasn't religious recitement. It wasn't just something they had memorized. It wasn't just something they said to impress the people around them. When Jesus talked to the Father, they say, hey, He's getting through. He knows who He's talking to. He knows what He's talking about. And so when we pray, it should be sincere, transparent prayer. He was praying in a certain place, and when He ceased, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Who do you want to teach you to pray? That's somebody who knows how to do it. You wouldn't go to somebody that doesn't know how to build something and say, can you teach me how to build something? You don't want to come to me and say, Brother Derek, teach me how to build something. I mean, I can put a hammer and nails together with a piece of wood, but it might not be straight, and it might not be level, and it might not be even. I mean, I could teach you, but it won't be great. It'll stand, maybe. But I tell you what you want to do. If you want to learn how to build something, go to somebody that builds stuff every day and knows how to do it. And if you want to learn how to pray, go to somebody who prays and that knows how to pray. And so they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. By the way, they said John taught his disciples to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus said unto them, verse number 2, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Who do we pray to? Let me tell you something. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to saints. We don't pray to dead relatives. We don't pray to the Holy Ghost. We don't pray to Jesus. Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father. And you say, well, Pastor, aren't the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost the same? Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. Now, I know and you know that that prayer gets delivered by the Spirit through the Son to the Father. I know that it's God. I know that it's still going to the same place. But He taught us, and He said, here's how you do it. Pray, Father. Now, you can argue all you want to about semantics, but if you want to go to the teacher, what the Master said was, pray this way. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, so we glorify Him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is it we ultimately want? Of all the things you want, what do you want? You say, well, I want to be healthy, and I want my loved ones to be healthy, and I want them to be well, and I want their minds to work, and I want them to be happy, and I want them to not be lacking for anything. Well, amen, all those things are good. But ultimately, what do we want? What are we really looking for? We want the will of God to be done. We want God to have His way. I don't understand some of the things that are happening around us, and I say, how could that be God's will? How can this be God's plan? I don't understand it. And so when I pray, I include that in my prayer. I'm not going to tell y'all what I say to them. That's personal. I say, God, I don't understand how this could be your plan. But you know what I've discovered, the longer I've experienced that is, that sometimes it's not about the person that's going through it. It's about the people around them. And God's trying to reach and teach and change and move and do some things around them. And so we just trust God. That's all I can do, trust God. I'm ready to go to heaven today. Are you? I'm ready to go. I just want God's will to be done. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Verse 3, He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Just our needs. Just what we need. How many of you have everything you need? I do. How many of you have a lot of stuff you want? How many of you have a lot of stuff you don't need? Verse 4, He says, and forgive us our sins. I need forgiveness, do you? Forgive us our sins. How many of you believe you got sins that need forgiven? I mean, can we at least agree on that? We need God's forgiveness. Need God's grace. And then did you see this part? Because this is where it starts to get a little harder. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I forgive everybody that's offended me, hurt me, hated me, tried to hurt me. How many of us can say that? I do. I forgive them. Forgive them all. Now, how many of you think that's hard? How many of you think it's still going to come up in my mind once in a while that, yeah, they hurt me? I pray, I say, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. I don't call them and tell them, hey, I forgive you. That just starts another fight. And I just forgive them. I forgive them. I'm not trying to get even, not holding a grudge. I don't care. Y'all do understand that. When you hold a grudge, all you're doing is letting them have free space in your brain. Because they don't care. They forgot. Now, I won't tell the story again, but just to surmise it, there was a lady called me and said, Pastor, I just want you to know I forgive you. I said, for what? She said, I've been mad at you for 5 years. I said, for what? And she explained what it was. I couldn't even remember that it ever happened. But really, it wasn't a matter of forgiveness. We just disagreed. That's all it was. Yeah, we got to stop holding grudges, getting mad at people, because all it's doing is killing us. They don't care. They don't even think about it. We forgive those that are indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation. So what's the prayer? The prayer is, God, don't put me in a situation where I've got to choose. Don't put me in a situation where I have to choose, where I have to prove how strong I am. How many of you ever thought of it that way? Don't put me in a situation where I have to prove how strong I am, where I have to prove my loyalties. Lead us not to temptation. Don't put me in that situation. It's a little different way to look at it, isn't it? But you see, guys, the problem most of the time is that we put ourselves in those situations. If there's somebody that aggravates you so much, stay away from them. I mean, if it's your husband, stay on the other side of the house. Right? But deliver us from evil. And that's all encompassing. That's everything that's bad. Everything that would draw us away. He goes on, and understand this about prayer. Prayer is the most powerful tool we have. Prayer for ourselves, prayer for other people. It's based in faith. What good would it be to pray if we didn't believe? And understand something, there's no good praying if we don't believe, if we don't have that hope. So when we pray, when I pray for these people who have different medical needs, I come to the conclusion of what I think would help the best. I say, God, do this for them. God, do this for them. I don't know what God's going to do, but I put it in His hands. And I trust Him with the outcome. I just trust in Him. When it comes to myself, I just trust Him. It's based in hope and it's based in faith. Are we looking to see what God will do? Do we look back and see what God has done? Guys, look at the things we've prayed for in the last year. Has God heard our prayer? Has He answered our prayer? Has He given us a glimpse of His glory? He has. Prayer is to speak to God. Just to talk to God. Teach us how to pray. Jesus didn't say, well, just talk to God. He gave them a pattern, didn't He? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. He gave them a pattern. Who are we talking to? Right? He said, address Him. Worship Him. Like, glorify Him. Thy will be done. Hallowed be Thy name. Right? Surrender yourself to His will. Well, whatever the outcome is, this is my desire, but I'm surrendered to Your will. Right? And I forgive everybody that owes me anything, and I ask You to forgive me. By the way, Jesus followed up on that, and He said, if you don't forgive others, why would you expect God to forgive you? If you're holding grudges, why do you expect your record to be clean? How many of you want to stand before God and answer for all the sins you've ever committed? Nah. We better start forgiving some people then, huh? He says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight, say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. How many of y'all do that? Knock on your neighbor's door at midnight and say, hey, I need something. Or call them at midnight and say, hey, I need something. Do we do that? He says, a friend, and the story continues, a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Look, he says, it's not my problem, but I'm trying to help somebody else. And in order for me to help them, I need you to help me. Isn't that the way it works? It's the way it works, isn't it? It's all interconnected. And if we shut our hand and don't give when somebody needs it, we could help them. What happens when we need? We don't have the right to turn and look to somebody else to help us if we haven't helped others. It's always kind of an issue to me when people come to the church and they say, "Can you help us?" And I say, "Well, where do you go to church?" "Well, I don't go to church." "Well, who have you helped?" "You want us to help you, but who have you helped?" And now you say, "Pastor, you're just supposed to give to people." Well, that'd be nice if people didn't take advantage, but they do. Are you a giver or just a taker? Or are you a giver and a taker? It works both ways. So he says, knock on his friend's door at midnight and says, "Hey, I need some help. But it's not really me. I'm trying to help somebody else." Let's look at verse 7. "And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee." Right? "I can't get up. It's too late. It's not reasonable. It's not right. It's not fair. It's inconvenient." How many of you would say that this request was unreasonable? At midnight. "You want me coming to knock on your door at midnight to ask for bread?" How many of you would say that's unreasonable, preacher? Y'all don't think that's unreasonable? "I'm not hungry. He's hungry." Hey, listen to me. Let me say this. It's unreasonable. Let me express to you, it is unreasonable. By the way, we have to do things for people even when it's unreasonable. There'll be plenty of times in life where people are unreasonable. But we need to help them anyway. If we didn't help people that are unreasonable, we probably wouldn't help anybody. So he says, "I'm knocking at midnight, and I've got a need. And it's unreasonable for you to knock on. Now it's going to wake up my whole family." This is the story. "If I get out of bed, I'm going to wake up my kids. It's not reasonable. Go away. Come back in the morning." Isn't that verse 7? Did y'all read that there? Verse 8, Jesus says, "I say to you, he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." He doesn't say, "Oh, that's my friend. Of course, at midnight you can knock on my door." That's not the point. The point is, no matter who it was, if there's a need, we should fill it. If there's a need, we should meet it. Here's my question. How does that relate to prayer? How many of you ever prayed for something you really didn't need? How many of us pray? That's the midnight knock. Not because of my need, but for somebody else's need. That's what he's talking about. And again, he's not answering the prayer because he likes us. He's answering the prayer because the need is real. God is looking to the burden. Guys, when we pray, let's search the depth of what it is we really need. Are we being superficial? Are we being materialistic? Are we being frivolous in our prayer? Or is it a great need? And I pray for you. I pray for you by name. If I know your need, I pray for your need. If I don't know of your need, I just say your name before the throne. Isn't that good enough? How many of you want your name said before the throne? So we pray. Don't know exactly what they need, but God, here it is. Meet their need. Touch them. Answer it. Again, is he answering it because it's me asking? Or is he answering because there's a need? Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Look at verse 9. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, back up just a step. And let me say this, if you don't ask for it, the answer is always no. And if you're not looking for it, you're certainly not going to find it. Would you say that's true? And if you don't knock, why would it be opened? So what's he telling us here in that verse? He's telling us that we need to put forth some efforts. That we need to search our hearts and our souls, and we need to search our lives. And when we go before God and pray, we need to bring real substantial prayer. I want you to know the things I'm praying for are incredible things. They're huge things. And only God can answer them. Only God can do it. I believe this. I don't know if you recall, but when Joshua, they went up against Ai after Jericho, they went up against Ai and they got beaten. And then go back and you see Joshua in the Bible. You ever see a two-year-old when they throw a tantrum? I would demonstrate, but y'all would get too big of a kick out of it. And so they're, you know, pounding their hands and feet. And I see Joshua in the dust praying that way. God, you let us lose. And God says, get out of the dirt, Joshua. You're sitting here praying when you ought to be doing something. You're praying about stuff that you could actually accomplish yourself. You say, well, we've put it in God's hands. No, God put it in our hands. If you can solve it, solve it. If you can work it, work it. If you can do it, do it. And for those things that we can't do, we need to pray about. For those things we can do, we need God, give me the strength. Let me get it done. Give me the wisdom. Get it done right. And go to it. But we're praying for results when we're not willing to put in the work. We're standing on the shovel and praying, waiting for a hole to be dug. Right? We need to dig the hole. Put ourselves to work. Look at verse 11. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Is that the kind of parents we are? Ask for bread and we say, here's a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Right? No reasonable father would do that. If he asks for an egg, will he give him offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil. Okay, now that's quite a statement, isn't it? We have the capacity for evil, don't we? How many of you know that you have the capacity to do some awful things? It's in, could, right, have the capacity. So when he says being evil, he means it's in us. We got it in us. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see, God does not have the capacity for evil. All He can do is good. So when we pray, understanding that we have the capacity to do evil, and yet we do good, we must understand that He does not have the capacity to do evil, and so He will do that much more good. When we pray, when you pray, talk to God. Just talk to Him. Just be honest with Him. Be transparent. Don't try to be deceptive. Just pray. Tell Him what it is you really want. God answers prayer. He always answers prayer. And sometimes God's answer is no. How many of you have ever prayed and God said no? How many have ever prayed and God said, well, not yet? And sometimes we pray and God says, okay. Do you understand what it takes when God answers a prayer that sometimes He has to move things around and put different people in different positions and move time and space? And yet I've seen Him answer those prayers and do those things. for me. Isn't that incredible? Of all that is in the world, God hears me when I pray. When I say, Father, right, the Bible talks about, we say, Abba, Father, Daddy. I mean, which one of us, when our kid says, Daddy, doesn't jump up and say, what can I do to help you? We want to help them. We want to meet their needs. And I'm not talking about, you know, as they get older. I'm talking about when they're innocent and can't do for themselves. They're incapable. Because that's the reality of who we are. We might think we got it figured out, but we're really incapable. We need Him. We need His guidance and His wisdom and His help. Let's stand. Father, help us today. Help us. There are needs. And there are personal needs. As I look around the room and I see so much, the burdens are so heavy. God, right now, we surrender ourselves to Your will. We ask that You will show us our part. We want to be good ministers, good servants. So God, show us our part, each of us. How can we help? So we can be Your hands and Your feet and Your voice and Your heart. Use this time we have to connect us, to bring us back to You. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. Just pray from your heart to God's heart. God, this is what's on my heart. God, get my mind right. Get my heart right. My priorities straight. When you pray, pray in this way. Is there anyone else this morning? Have you put your trust in God for the forgiveness of sins? begin with that. God, forgive my sins. All right. Anything for dismissed? All right. Glad you're here today. Hope you come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Bible school meeting at 5:30. Is that right? 5:30 here in the sanctuary. And it'll be here before you know it. I know it seems like it's a long way off, but then it'll be here. So got to get busy on that. All right. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer.